Hello.
Hi there, Marishan. This is Roger Molina. Maybe you could introduce yourself.
Hi. My name is Maureen Allegheri, and I'm a new media artist, art activist, educator, and cultural curator.
And my name is Roger Molina. I'm originally an astronomer and astrophysicist, now working at the University of Texas at Dallas in the Art and Technology program. And Marishan and I have been talking together for almost 18 months. And we thought we'd share some of our ideas together. So, Martian, what kind of brought us together at a probably at a bar, I think, was a discussion about dark matter. So, can you tell us about your interest in dark matter?
Yeah, well, I guess now that you brought up our kind of first conversation about it, I remember when first we were talking about it, and you were kind of explaining it from mostly this like science perspective, and that was really fascinating to me because at that time I was starting to work on this 3D printing project. I was thinking about this idea of, the meaning of, like, these forbidden objects around us, our relationship to these forbidden objects. And then specifically with this project that I've worked on that now is called Dark Matter, is this idea of finding objects that are forbidden or unwelcome, in a country like Iran, which is where I started, and then combining them and then 3D printing them. But mostly, again, like relating it to dark matter is like thinking about these objects as these invisible things in our lives. So when something is forbidden or is like by force being taken away from you, in your life, it's kind of, again, yeah, these like invisible things in your life that are not supposed to be there, but with something, a technology like 3D printing, you're somehow bringing them, into real life. And then you can, I guess, yeah, I mean, a lot of these objects that are 3D printed are not functional, but at the same time, it's this idea of poetically thinking about 3D printing something that is censored or invisible in your life by the government.
Anyway, so we got into quite an in-depth discussion because, of course, in astronomy, dark matter is something that's been known about for something like 30 or 40 years. Vera Rubin was one of the first astronomers who really made a very strong evidence for the presence of dark matter. And indeed, as you said, we know that dark matter exists, but it emits no light of any kind. And the only way that we know it exists is by the effect that it has on other things. And so dark matter has gravity. So if you have a lot of dark matter in a galaxy, then it will affect the speed with which stars rotate around the center of the galaxy and so on. And so indeed, this idea that there are things in the universe, but also in our everyday lives, which exist, but we cannot get what I would call direct sensory evidence of. You can't see it. But yet they can have a huge effect on how the world around it behaves. And so, I think very quickly we found this analogy really appealing as something to explore together.
Yeah, obviously, like my way of thinking about it is like kind of more poetic, and yeah, but totally, all these like concepts that overlap in a way, but how you can look at them from maybe different perspectives.
And so, indeed, in some of your work with respect to Iran, as you said, you've been 3D printing forbidden objects or combinations of forbidden objects which are forbidden in Iran, but they exist,
Right.
and somehow the 3D printing process makes them real. So, what kind of objects were you printing?
So the first one, which is kind of the famous one, is a dog wearing a dildo with satellite dish on top of the dildo. But it's, so dog in Islam is considered dirty, and then dildo obviously is forbidden, and then satellite dish, which the government, doesn't want people to own satellite dishes because that's how they will have access to this like outside world, to these Western TV channels. That's one. Another one is, for example, is a pig with a gun. Kind of they're combined, and then again, like ham is considered dirty in Islam, and then gun is also like forbidden for anyone to own in the country except for the government. The other one is a Buddha with a Bart Simpson head, Which is again like Buddha is like as in a sculpture, they don't want any source to sell them because it's advertising another religion. And then the head is, Simpson is what I remember when I was growing up, they were always like telling us that you shouldn't be watching this cartoon because it has a lot of bad messages from Western societies, and then they didn't want the dolls or the toys to be sold in any of the stores. So I actually have expanded this project, which I can talk about it a little bit more, to other countries, which I also find fascinating.
That some things are forbidden in one country and not another. And in any case, this discussion about the political situation in Iran right now, we ended up chatting about my own family's experience in the 30s and 40s in America, and then in the 50s during the what became known as the McCarthy era. And so, indeed, I explained to you that my father, when he was a young student in California in the 1930s, attended a number of meetings where there were communists present. Some of his friends that he kept as friends all his life were later discovered to be members of the Communist Party. It turns out that we got hold of my father's FBI files through the Freedom of Information Act. And I must say, for me, it was fascinating reading because, there are things you know about your parents because you shared a part of your life with them, and there are things that you just had no idea about. And it turns out that the FBI director, Herbert Hoover, tried to attack my father, tried to get him, put him in jail in the United States. And in these files were all these informant reports of people who knew my father, had been to parties he'd been at, explained what happened, talked about what my father's opinions were. And in particular, in these files, there's a series of reports by informant number 11, who has no name. And basically, I say he, maybe it was a she, I have no idea. This informant really accused my father of trying to help the Germans win the war and so on. And my father never talked about all of this. It was just like dark matter in our family history. And suddenly, finding these FBI files made me aware of things that affected my father's life when I was a child, but I had no idea about. Anyway, so we started t talking a little bit about informant number 11, and we had a photograph with 20 people in it, and we know that informant number 11 is one of those people. So why don't you talk about it a little bit, how you reacted to this discussion?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I feel kind of like really connected to a lot of my work because in general, like censorship is something that I've dealt with both in my practice, as an artist. When I lived in Iran, I dealt with it in different ways. And then here, I dealt with it even after I moved because I still wanted to go back to Iran for the first 4 or 5 years. So I still had to kind of deal with this self-censorship. So I kind of had to still limit myself. But also, censorship was something in my work that I, kind of approached. I did this series of performances that was kind of addressing, criticizing censorship in like a country like Iran or China or North Korea. But with this project specifically, it was really interesting to me because, yeah, and I went through some of the files that you send me. But kind of like trying to use whatever technology that we have now, we talked about this idea of combining these faces because we have 20 faces of these people, but we don't know who they are, or like which one is the actual person we're looking for. So, in the project that hopefully it will be done soon, but the idea was to combine these faces and then from the average face that we get from this combination, we will 3D print a face as as this like displaying the face of this person. Which I again like I think it's a really fascinating idea, like using a technology like 3D printing.
Anyway, so tying this back to, again to our dark matter discussion earlier in this podcast, for me, and I think I mentioned to you before, we recently had a discussion online in the Yasmin List on the supernatural in art and science. And one of the discussions that people got involved in is what is fundamentally knowable and what is fundamentally unknowable. So, I believe that dark matter, whatever it is, and we don't know what it is, that scientists one day will find out what it is, what it's made of, what its physics is, and who knows, make dark matter machines in the future. Just like when people started working with electricity and magnetism 200 years ago, they didn't know that we would be doing a Skype using that 200 years later. And so, clearly for me, dark matter is a fundamentally knowable thing. On the other hand, there are things that are fundamentally unknowable. And in physics, the typical example that people give is there's no way fundamentally to know the structure of what's inside a black hole. There's what's called this cosmic censorship principle, which is that no information can get out from the inside of a black hole. You can know its total mass, its spin, the total charge, but there's no way information on its internal structure can get out. So that is a fundamentally unknowable thing. And so I think it's interesting also and we haven't had a chance to discuss this, that when you talk about things in human life that are unknown, some of them are knowable, but some of them are maybe unknowable. And I think that's an interesting debate that we can have as we work on these projects together.
Yeah, which kind of like brings in this point. I know you know about this project called Forever Now, which they're doing, a second version of the Voyager Golden Record, that was sent to outer space in 1977. And I am one of the artists invited by them to work on a new series of these dark matter series, of my work, of these like forbidden objects from other countries. And one of the questions I was asked in an interview that they did, about this piece that I made for them was, what do you think will happen to the Forever Now record after we submit it to the space? The idea is that I am sending this combination of these forbidden objects that when they go to a space, they're no longer forbidden, because they're no longer in, human on Earth where we have all these rules and bureaucracy and think objects around us for whatever reason are forbidden, But then I really love this idea of sending, again, it's very utopian in a way, but like sending out these objects outside to outer space where I don't know if one day someone will even like see them or find them, but kind of like this again poetic idea of freeing them, these objects, like sending them somewhere that they can be free and no longer forbidden. So yeah, and I find that also like again fascinating with what you were saying about things that are known and unknown, and it kind of like makes sense in this piece as well.
Excellent. Well, we only have about a minute left, so we need to wrap this up. But I think this is a really interesting discussion, and I look forward to working with you in the future and maybe sending some objects into outer space.
Yes.
Do you want to make a final comment?
Yeah, I mean, what I find really as fascinating with so far what we've worked on and we collaborate on is that as an artist working with technology, I was never really involved that much in the science side of things, but then the conversations I had with you, it kind of like made me realize how a lot of things that I'm doing are connected somehow to science in a way that I never thought about them. Again, our approaches are different, but then there are a lot of things that are overlapping. So for me, this is like a really exciting venue to like path, I guess, like to start as an artist to explore more and understand better in my work.
Okay, and vice versa. So I look forward to continuing this discussion and working on these collaborative pieces together.
Thanks.
Thank you,
Thank
Marishan.
you, Roger. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.